Praise to God for his abundant word this evening. The Holy Spirit is surely with us tonight. And tonight also with us is Scott Curry to give us a major teaching titled, What Are the Signs of the Holy Spirit? Scott?
Thanks, Tom. How many of you have had a time or times when you felt the Holy Spirit leading you in your life? Tonight I'm going to talk about the five signs of the Holy Spirit. It's said sometimes that we overlook the Holy Spirit and we underplay the importance of the Spirit. I don't think that's true because certainly in the scriptures and then throughout the church, there are numerous descriptions and celebrations of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, of course, sent by the Father and the Son, is the animated spirit of the life in the church. Think of the Spirit as the soul of the mystical body. It's the animating principle of the mystical body. So we see its work. We see its work all over the place. I want to mention five signs of the Holy Spirit. In the Acts of the Apostles, we hear about Philip going down to the city of Samaria and proclaiming Christ to them. He went there because of the persecution following the execution of Stephen. When something goes bad in your life, instead of saying, this is awful, dumb suffering, what's God up to? How can I see this as a sign of God's providence? Because of the persecution in Jerusalem, apostles and disciples were sent out to the wider world. Watch how God can use even evil for his purposes. Philip proclaimed Christ to them. Here's the first sign of the Holy Spirit. Bold speech. Proclamation on the behalf of Christ. In our modern societies in the West, it's kind of our etiquette that you don't talk too much publicly about religion. You'd better keep it to yourself. We'll tolerate you, but don't come out publicly with your religion and your views, because that's just going to cause trouble. So we learn early on, don't talk about religion in the public space. Well, he proclaimed Christ to them from Philip and Peter and James and John, all the way up to Fulton Sheen and Pope John II. People were filled with the Holy Spirit and can't keep Christ to themselves. They have to speak. When Paul says, woe to me if I do not evangelize, it's like it was burning fire inside of him. He couldn't keep it to himself. He had to proclaim Christ. So a sign that the Holy Spirit is active in you. So yes, the John Paul II's and the Billy Graham's and those who are formally charged with proclaiming Christ, but it's everybody. It's you, every baptized person. You've been filled up with the Holy Spirit. And so bold speech is one of your signs. Here's a second one. The Holy Spirit, by definition, expels wicked spirits. Remember, the New Testament is very clear about this. Not all spirits are holy spirits. We're involved, in fact, in spiritual warfare. There are creatures, these angels, higher realities, some of whom have fallen. Just as there are good people and wicked people, so there are good angels and wicked angels. Well, these dark malignant spirits do their work in the world. Typically, how these spirits work is through temptation and also through insinuation. We battle powers that we can see, but we also battle powers that we cannot see. If the Holy Spirit is in you, he gets rid of these dark spirits. There's an expulsive power to the Holy Spirit. If he takes residence in you, then these other spirits have to flee. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people. That's what happened when Philip proclaimed boldly. Jesus Christ. When Philip, filled with the Holy Spirit, proclaims, the Holy Spirit comes and then expels out the dark powers. One of the signs of the Spirit is the fleeing of this darkness. When they heard it and saw the signs he was doing, there was great rejoicing. The signs he was doing, the Holy Spirit produces miraculous effects. This might not be the everyday reality of most believers, it's not. But clearly from the New Testament to the present day, one of the marks of the Holy Spirit is extraordinary signs and wonders. Paul speaks of prophecy and words of knowledge and speaking in tongues. And yes, indeed, from Paul's time to the present day, those are realities in the life of the church. One of the signs of the Holy Spirit are miraculous manifestations. If you look at the history of evangelization in the New Testament until today, very often the initial evangelization of the people or nation is accompanied by miraculous signs. And you can see why. So someone arrives in a country where they've never heard about Jesus Christ. And yes, indeed, preaching is involved in teaching. But you wonder at times, what was it that first got their attention? When someone went to evangelize for the first time, or think of the missionaries that went into the parts of Africa in the 19th century, what was it that led people to say, yeah, I'm going to listen to this person? Well, there's lots of testimony throughout the tradition of miraculous signs, healings, and wonders that accompanied these first evangelists. So these signs, the expulsion of dark powers, the miraculous manifestation of the Holy Spirit, these are indicators. There's a third sign of the Spirit, and I've already alluded to it. It says, there was great joy in that city. So after Philip proclaimed, joy is the principal flag of the Holy Spirit. That is the flag that flies over the house of someone in whom the Holy Spirit is dwelling. There are other signs, other indicators, but the clearest one is joy. The mark of the Holy Spirit is joy. Prayerfulness and everything else that we could name, but the principal thing is their own joy, which becomes radiant and contagious. When you're with someone and you come away feeling more alive, that's the sign of the Holy Spirit in that person. When you've caught from them your own joy, the Holy Spirit's around. Be attentive to that. Watch for it. Watch for it in your own life. That's the sign that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. Here's a fourth sign, and I'm going to go to the first letter of Peter, and that's a great line. Always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. It's the great exhortation towards what we call apologetics. When people have questions about the faith, they're wandering away from the church, and they wonder, they ask questions. Well, Peter says to his followers and to us, always be ready to give reason for the hope that's within you. So, you're a Christian. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have these various powers and convictions, and someone asks about it. Hey, what's that all about? Where's that coming from? Be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. A fourth sign of the Holy Spirit is that intellectual curiosity about the faith. If the Spirit is in you, the Spirit of Jesus is within you, you want to know as much as you can about Jesus. You're fascinated by him. You're in love with him. And you're so eager to find out all that you can. That's why John Henry Newman says that one of the marks of doctrine as it's properly developing is intellectual curiosity. If you're suddenly feeling like, I don't care, I'm not asking any questions anymore, I'm indifferent to it, well, then the church is becoming corrupt. You're becoming corrupt in your faith. Intellectual curiosity leading you to read and to study and to pray over texts and to understand the faith more deeply, that's a sign that the Holy Spirit is at work within you. The last sign is the most important, and I'm relying on the great gospel text. During the Easter season, we often read from the Gospel of John. And these wonderful manifestations of the Lord, the night before he died, and then the risen Lord speaking to his disciples. And we find this. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus sent by the Father and the Son, the animating principle of the church. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. God so loved the world, the Father so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, so that we might all be gathered into the love that God is. Who is the Spirit? The Spirit is the love that connects the Father and the Son, the love into which we've been invited. Therefore, the mark of the all five that I've mentioned, the most important mark of the Holy Spirit, is love. What is love? To love is to will the good of the other. That's the mark of the Holy Spirit. You could have all the things I've mentioned, and they're all great, but if you don't have this, you don't have the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul can say there are three things that last: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest there is love. I could have faith enough to move mountains, Paul says, but if I have not love, I'm nothing. That's it. That's the mark of the Holy Spirit, is love. We can have a lot of things in us, but if we don't have love in us, then the Spirit dwelling in us is not the Holy Spirit. It's some other kind of Spirit. This is the mark, willing the good of the other. John of the Cross says, "The evening of life will be judged on the basis of love." That's what it comes down to. What kind of life did I live? Oh, I accomplished this and that. I got this degree, and I have these friends and these connections. But did you love? Was your life marked by willing the good of the other? That's the principal sign of the Holy Spirit. So the five signs are: people filled with the Spirit, they proclaim the Lord boldly. People filled with the Spirit often manifest signs. People filled with the Spirit have joy. People filled with the Spirit, they've got intellectual curiosity about the faith. People filled with the Spirit, they will the good of the other. Amen. God bless you.